Welcome to the Walking Dead podcast with three stupid guys, and at this point, all four stupid guys are here with their heads intact. How's it going, guys?
Very well.
Going pretty good.
Call me Mr. Stretch.
This actually could have been a
better than a couple of other characters.
Could have been a sports talk show, couldn't it? Because you know, we had a guy who's pretty good with the bat. So
there was baseball. Right, series is actually
and you had
going
a,
on
South,
right
now. Southpaw reference.
I don't know about you, Jack, but the Royals could use a good bat in a lineup like that.
Padres could too. He made contact on every single swing, so that I thought that was pretty good.
I think we're talking about a different game of baseball here with Negan's bat. I mean, really, like how many times have you seen a barbed wire baseball bat on the field? I don't think that's legal.
I don't think you can't put cork. In the bat, yeah. The pine tar can't be too up. I don't think there's anything in the rule book that says anything against barbed wire being on a bat. I could be wrong.
So he might have trouble getting in the Hall of Fame, though, like Barry Bonds and McGuire.
Yeah.
there was audio evidence that he said that the Lucille needs blood and that she is a vampire bat. So I don't know exactly. pretty punny there too for Negan, vampire bat.
You know, come to think of it, you know, Negan looked like he might have juiced up a little bit before this episode.
I think he did. So is really? He nuts? Is he just crazy? Is this how he just shows his power? He takes out, you know, well, he took out two people. He brought Rick to tears. He had Rick. I don't know.
Russ, go ahead. You have anything to say or add?
About no, go ahead. Side? Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
You want to start with the recap you had?
Yeah, I'll go ahead with the recap. It'll get us going here. Maybe we're a little rusty around the old baseball bat there. So the episode title was called The Day Will Come. Right?
Was that what it was called?
That was, yeah.
I would have gone with batter up.
Batter beware.
or take me out to the ball game.
I knew there was more to it.
Wait, you want to go with suck my nuts?
No, I wouldn't do that.
That's how you go down.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get the whole title here. The day will come.
That's how you go down. Was that another pun by Negan?
They don't call us stupid guys for nothing here.
No, they don't.
The Walking Dead. We cover it all. warning, explicit language ahead. I don't know. I mean, this episode was pretty explicit.
Right? I guess. Well, yeah. If you're shy about the explicit language, it was in the episode, so we'll probably mention it from time to time.
Right. So we're talking to people who watch people get their heads bashed in, but we're worried about language here. All right. I got it.
Because language is offensive. Getting your head smashed in is just part of the deal.
All right, 8-year-olds who are listening to this podcast, keep watching people get their heads bashed in.
All right. So the full episode title, just to finish out my stupid guy thought here, the day will come when you won't be. When you won't be. Okay, there you go. I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of that title. Anyway, the episode begins with Rick's face and after he's just witnessed the death of whoever we don't know because they like to draw things out with lots of commercials, so I hear. That was the one criticism that I saw.
That was a criticism by me. Because I watched it. I don't usually watch it live. And I'm watching it live, and it's like, really, another commercial? Come on.
Well, and especially the first 20 minutes, where you're like, come on, we want an answer, and they're stretching it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and you do get a shot of actually who is dead right before they cut to the title music, because the camera pans down on that blood smashed into the ground there. So, I don't have like an exact breakdown of all of the dialogue here. I was just kind of taking quick notes my second time through. But Negan takes Rick. By the way, I do like this thing that Negan does with his. He goes. He kind of does a whistle.
Yeah,
or something. At some point.
Well, doesn't it's really that creepy. Group? Didn't the group? Haven't they been doing that the whole time? They kind of like whistle to freak people out. Didn't they do that last season?
Well, I guess mistaken? Calling through the woods. No, I think you're right. I think
that was Lost.
That was Lost. Okay. I knew it was a show in the woods and jungles type thing.
Yeah, less mythology here in Walking Dead world. Negan decides to take Rick out to break his will, basically. That's the whole episode, right? Negan breaks Rick's will.
Well, you break the leader and the others fall in place.
Except unless your name is Maggie.
Well, Maggie's in shock. Maggie's in shock right now. And I forgot she was sick. During this whole thing, right. I forgot the reason they were going that direction because they're trying to get her to the hospital, you know, the doctor. So
that's true. Anyway, so as we're kind of on this journey, we see Rick seeing flashes of all of these people that it could be, as if we don't know that it's Abraham, Glenn, Sasha, Adam, Maggie. You're like, it's just like, I don't know. Go ahead.
Was I the only one thinking when he kept flashing like that he's the one that died? I said, why do they keep showing? I go, we know who's there. Were they trying to say all of them died? Or did he die? And this is something he's just remembering them as, you know, your life flashes before your eyes when you die. That's what they all say, right?
Again, this isn't Lost, Jack. I'm sorry.
But I'm just saying that's what they everyone says when I your near death experience. Oh, my life flashed before my eyes. What was happening with Rick? Everything he'd seen in the last, you know, he'd been living with was flashing before his eyes. I said, oh, maybe Rick dies. That would be cool,
right?
But it didn't happen. I'm the only one that thought that.
I think
I've heard of Rick. The show would be over. So you don't have to worry about that.
I think
Negan takes Rick to a church and they open up the doors and there's a light and they just walk through.
and they're friends now.
Right. They're friends. No, at this point though, when he's in the RV and I like the scene where it doesn't quite start because it starts right up later, like no problem.
Right.
But at the very beginning though, it's almost like he's taunting him to take the axe out, and he even kind of coaxes him on to try to attack him with the axe. So, or as the other guy called it, a hatchet.
A hatchet.
So, Negan wasn't too worried about him like throwing the axe. Because I feel like that would have done some damage there if he would have threw it at his head.
Have we seen Rick throw anything before, though? Does he have an arm?
I thought it was kind of funny how when Negan asked, I forget who he asked, but he asked like what he came in with, and the guy said it was an axe, and he kind of belittled, his weapon of choice, I guess you could say.
Well, the guy called it a hatchet, and Negan was like, a hatchet?
Yeah, like almost very, that. Come on, Rick's this mastermind, and that's what he's coming to take me down with as a hatchet kind of thing. I thought that was kind of neat.
What is he, Davy Crockett?
Davy would have he would have thrown it at him and split his head in half. Daniel Boone,
Johnny Appleseed, any one of those.
Johnny Appleseed wasn't. What was Johnny Appleseed going to do? Throw an apple at him? He wasn't.
Johnny Appleseed. He was the original MacGyver.
Yeah, he just planted apple trees. Right? He didn't fight anybody.
You can do a lot with an apple. Trees down and stuff,
No, he planted. He didn't chop the trees down. He planted trees. Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed saved the Alamo. Definitely.
you know how he planted apple trees all the way around it, and the Spanish had to go all the way around. So that was all
right.
Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone, but not Johnny Appleseed.
Okay, so I think Canadian established really well that my American history is very.
He said the British are coming.
Yeah,
he threw seeds, and the British kept slipping on him.
Remember the whole Raiders,
the Boston Seed Party,
Paul Revere. Yeah,
yeah. American history, yeah,
that's not my thing.
You do bring some really great content to the show. I will say
all American hero Johnny Appleseed, who, you know, he was elected the first president of the United States.
The first pick.
I only know of one greatest American hero.
G.I. Joe?
No, the song "Believe It or Not," I'm Walking on Air.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the greatest American hero to me.
Yes.
Greatest thing to come out of that TV show.
I'm walking on air.
It was a great song.
Okay.
Good times, man.
So can we
go back to the show?
I guess the title of this episode is going to be Johnny Appleseed, American Hero.
There you go.
He may have been able to survive this apocalyptic world. I like this scene of Rick. I forgot. Negan tries to become friends with him. That's what he even says. He's like, I'm just trying to become friends with you. And he throws this hatchet or axe on the roof, I guess.
That's what I
Rick
do.
Rick goes out. Yeah, go get me my axe. Well, he does say everything that was yours is now mine. So this axe is now mine. So there's a psychological breakdown that he keeps playing. And I think that Jeffrey Dean Morgan is just... I don't know. I think he hits a home run with the performance. Personally.
I agree. He wasn't over the top crazy. You know how some of these guys that play psychos do the over the top thing. I thought he did a great job. I believed him.
He was scary. Yeah, for sure. So anyway, there's this shot though of Rick kind of surrounded in this apocalyptic hellscape. It's all smoky and it's really dreamlike. I don't know. I just like the way that it was shot. And then Rick sees that he's kind of staring at this hanging man. Good old Long Neck.
I think his name was Chad.
Chad.
He's hanging Chad.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging Chad. Yeah. Yeah. I got your joke, Mike. I got it.
Only Floridians, right? I don't know.
Well, it's a Floridian.
Call back to 2000 we'll never know.
Anyway. We hear Negan's voice, and after what I assume was just 1,000 commercials, we finally get back to the moment, right? Where Negan plays Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo, and which is pretty much a shot of last season, except it's all through Rick's eyes as he stares at everyone that's about to, be hit. We finally get to this nauseating moment where he finally kills Abraham. So he hits him on the head and Abraham says his goodbye line.
He took it. I don't think I could take a shot out of the bat with barbed wire and, you know, that hard and be still able to communicate. I think Abraham was pretty tough.
I think Abraham was ready for it. And if you check the tapes, Glenn was not.
No.
He was not. He was just like staring kind of off in the distance as it happens.
You think he was more worried about Maggie being the one or?
I think so. And I think his guard was down because he had already killed one person.
Right.
You know, but this whole scene, if you go back and watch it, the sound and the auditory changes that occur are really a jarring because it goes from this really wet, like where you can hear every drip of the bat, and it cuts back and it keeps cutting back to the scene of Rick on top of the RV with the zombie horde noise, almost like some Nine Inch Nails soundtrack. It's just like it goes back and forth between those two things, and the crisp, you know, sound of the baseball bat into gristly brain. I don't know. It's really just reinforced and really gross.
It was.
And finally, Daryl charges at Negan. And he's pretty much taken down.
Wait, he actually got a punch in.
He did. He did get a swing in. Well, the whole time, I mean, he's just crooning. So, and then I don't know. I guess this guy that we can just assume is Daryl's sidekick villain, who comes up and wants to kill him with his own crossbow.
I want to kill him. Can I kill him?
Yeah.
Please let me kill somebody.
But Negan really likes that fire and decides to take him away. So, so they're going to, you know, I guess Daryl is once again, he's going to be separated from the group.
Right.
And have his own storyline.
You think that's what he wants as the actor? You think that's what he wants to be?
Oh, I just think it's a plot contrivance for the writers is to separate the actors up so that you can have.
But why is it always, you know, why is it always him?
Well, I think Daryl's character is so strong and polarizing that he doesn't need anybody else with him to have a storyline, you know?
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah. You could almost put anybody with Daryl and the story works, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Negan says, you know, the first one's free, and because Daryl charged at him, that's when he's kind of standing there and he's kind of basically he says that you got to shut that shit down.
Yeah.
And that's when he kills Glenn. And Glenn has the most gruesome death face.
Yeah.
It's, I didn't want to even watch it the second time. Honestly, it was just,
well,
and then to hear his moan.
Negan was like going, I know you want to say something. Can't you say anything? Basically, you know, just, and you know, you see Maggie gross. Looking, it just was like, there's probably one of the favorite characters on the show and they're killing off. I think the only thing is most of us thought it was going to be Glenn and Abraham. It wasn't much of a shock. I think it would have been more of a shock if they just would have done it before the end of last season. I think we talked about in the podcast, our last podcast, but I don't know, just the way they just kept him sitting there. I mean, at this point, do we need anything, another reason to hate Negan?
Right. And food for thought, I mean, you know, we're not even through the recap yet, but what if they had shown us that Abraham had gotten hit, right? The sucker punch would still be the fact that Glenn would get knocked off. Exactly. So I think that they could have still had their, I don't know, you could have given the audience one thing and then still sled the other knife in, you know, and the fact that you come back and you have this moment. But at any rate, it is awful. I don't know. Just he does get some words out. He says that Maggie, I will find you, which is just so sad.
Yeah.
As Negan says, gross as shit. So,
yeah, he did say that. Says, yeah. And he was right.
And then he mercilessly beats Glenn. And the rest of everyone sobs. And we see Glenn's arm twitching.
Yeah.
That is also just gross. So there you go, people.
Spoiler, does Glenn die in the comic books like this? Is this how he dies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't die. He doesn't die under a dumpster.
No.
It was in comic book 100, from what people say.
Okay.
Oh. Look at Mike dropping the knowledge.
There you go.
All right.
Mike with the stats.
Hey, did you guys on when, I don't think we mentioned it, but when Abraham was about to get Lucille, did you guys notice Abraham gave the peace out sign?
No, I don't think I noticed he gave the peace out
sign. I saw it later. He gave the peace out sign to Sasha.
Yeah,
that was their thing.
It was very, very subtle, but he did do that.
Look at you, Russ. Nice. I didn't even notice
that.
Nice
job, Russ. I was thinking of the next commercial, but good job, Russ.
Yep. I mean, that was pretty significant. To people, because that was their thing that they had between them, and you know, it was kind of like his, hey, you know, it's going to be okay, kind of thing. You know, peace out.
Yeah. Good call, Russ.
All right. Back to the recap here. So after Lucille gets the blood, and He makes the joke about being a vampire bat. That's actually when we get to the past Rick and present Rick kind of meeting. So, you know, where Rick was at the very beginning of the episode to where he is now stuck on the top of the RV. And Negan is kind of forcing the issue. So he begins shooting through the roof at Rick to make him grab his axe, get his axe out of there. Right.
Right.
At which point, he jumps onto this hanging dead zombie man, Mr. Stretchneck. And
well, that was the guy from last season that they hung. I can't remember his name though, right? That they hung in front of Rick when they were because it's in front of all those logs they had blocking the way. I'm pretty sure that's who it was, but I can't remember his name. I just remember he was Rick and the Green didn't stop the killing. They just backed up.
And they set something on fire over there too, which makes sense because it was still on fire. That's why it was smoldering, smoky in that scene. So, great callback. I was wondering what the significance of the guy, hanging there. I thought that, but
you don't want to grab a dead zombie to hang on to because you know they just don't have the muscles anymore to hold you up.
They don't make them like they used to. No. Zombies back in our days. It's pretty much Rick's end here. He's being pulled into a zombie horde. There's no way out at this point. At which point Negan shoots the horde beneath Rick and saves Rick. And Ed eggs him on to go get his axe still.
Now once he gets the axe, here's a plan Rick could have done. Couldn't he have taken out the tires on the RV? Just pop, 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 and left Negan in there and went back to try to rescue the gang? Because how's Negan going to get out?
Right. I think the thing is that Rick never has the upper hand against the zombie horde that's around him.
That's true.
Because even when he runs to get the axe in the grass there and you see this decapitated head sitting there, he's immediately attacked again. He runs back to the RV. He's not thinking straight, clearly. And Negan saves him once again by shooting the horde away. Rick gets in there, hands him the axe. Everyone's happy, and there's another really great sound edit where you hear the sound of Rick panting, and it fades into the RV firing up, and they return to the rest of the group.
I was I would have been upset when Negan takes the blood from the axe and wipes it on his jacket. That would push me over the top. Everything else before I'd have been okay, but you're wiping blood on my jacket.
I wanted to bring up something here, and maybe you guys can comment on it. But
I can't.
Did you guys not see Rick being on top of the RV with the axe as a repeat from the time that he was in the RV or on top of the RV surrounded by the horde of walkers? Remember that?
And he got away.
He got away somehow.
But he was in the RV with an RV that wouldn't start, and we didn't know how he escaped.
Right. But did you guys not like... When I saw that scene happen, I was thinking that maybe Negan's group kind of got them away from Rick and the RV. And that's how he got away.
I'm gonna say no. Why would they help Rick at that point?
Well, not to help him, but they were guiding him to the showdown, because remember how at the end of last season, everywhere they went, they had the roadblock, like knowing every move they made. And that's where I'm thinking that maybe they kind of orchestrated this whole thing to lead up to this, that they've been being followed for a while now.
Okay. Well, maybe
Negan put the governor in place to lead Rick to this group so that they would provide.
Right.
It could, no, I'm just saying that. Like,
I hear what you're saying, but I'm just saying that.
Because, you know, it just brought back another scenario where there's Rick with the RV again.
I think how we saw how Rick got out is when he was trying to get the axe, he was pretty successful at killing the walkers at will. I think he just fought his way out. I think that's that. I think that has to be the assumption.
On with the show. This is it. They return to a great crackpot theory there, but it doesn't hold water. I'm sorry.
It's a good theory because it can never be disproven.
That's true. Although, yeah, you're right. Anyway, they return to the rest of the group. Negan calls Rick Prick. As you pointed out, he does clean the axe on him, and then he gets out the alcohol, playfully toying with Rick, and visually showing him that he's cleaning this axe for some reason, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of really... I think even a line that he says, it's almost like he's tongue-in-cheek playing with the viewers as well, because many of the comic book readers are familiar with Rick's hand being cut off as well and wondering exactly what might happen next. You know, a lot of things are in play. I think he makes a joke about not having a good right hand, you know?
Yeah.
And, because if you don't have one, it's just a lot of work. And I think that's from the comic, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been a while since I've read the comic. So Walking Dead fans, I apologize. I'm sure, sure we'll be on that, right on that for next week's episode.
Someone
Negan drags. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I said someone should be on that.
Yeah, send in your feedback, if you will.
Yeah.
Anyway, Negan drags Rick back to the group like a dog, proceeds to try to break Rick in front of the group, and Rick's really not saying much. And again, Negan says, you know, hey, don't act like, you know, someone's shitting your scrambled eggs. And Negan forces Rick to cut off Carl's arm. Really horrifying kind of moment here, because at this point, I think everybody thought, okay, everything's in play. You had two deaths, very brutal, on scene. And then now, again, the show does what it loves to do. Puts kids in danger into this moment where you think the most awful thing is going to happen. And
makes Rick cry
like a baby.
Is Carl just that brave? Go ahead, cut off my arm, Dad. Do it. Just do it. Just do it. I'm looking at my. I don't have an eye on this side anyway. I can't see it happen. So go ahead.
Right.
I just say he's a brave little kid.
Well, I mean,
he's been through
a lot in his early years. So I think he's just
not everybody gets to kill their mom. So we'll just put it that way.
Yeah, he's pretty resilient now.
That part actually made sense to me, you know, because I just think Carl is almost desensitized to it in a way that he would almost be okay with it. It basically gets to this moment where Rick just breaks and he just cries like a pathetic coward. It's brutal. It's just as brutal to listen to him cry.
He had stock coming out of his nose. He was crying so hard.
Oh man.
I think that was grosser than seeing Abraham and Glenn get their head smashed in. Just seeing the snot. There's nothing worse than seeing someone's snot just coming out of their nose. It's like, oh my god, that's gross. I said, in elementary school, I used to sit across from a girl that used to do it. Just would drain out of her nose. And I'd be like,
Amen.
Well,
so it's like, please. It brought back flashbacks of elementary school.
To point,
Jack was having grade school flashbacks.
It was awful. At that point, I was praying for a commercial.
Maybe perhaps you and Negan went to the same school, because Negan said, "That's the look I want to see."
There you go.
And that is what he tells Rick when he is broken. He doesn't let him cut off the kid's arm. And he even gives a spirit award to the dead bodies as he leaves. He gives them a brand new truck.
Yeah.
You know? There you go.
So, you know, he's not a completely bad guy.
Not a bad guy at all. So, really on the bright side of things, Carl gets an arm, they get a new truck, and two people got the spirit award. And that's how this episode ended. It was a real heart-winning moment. But, yeah, another uplifting episode.
I do like the people have said, after this, I'm not – this is just too violent, too gross. I'm going to go rewatch Game of Thrones.
I didn't see that in the Facebook feedback. I did peruse the Facebook feedback. But before we get to that, I think there's some people we need to thank, right?
If you like this show and Sports Talk with Three Stupid Guys and The Married Man, the broadcast, Westworld, if you haven't watched Westworld yet, it's the closest thing to Lost since Lost. I mean, it's an excellent, excellent show. We also have Dancing with the Stars. And when Amazing Race returns, we'll have The Amazing Race. And I think that's it. So if you'd like to become a patron, help support this show. It keeps the show, it keeps all of us happy. It pays for our host. It pays for our feeds, our website, everything.
It pays for the other host.
Yeah,
you become it pays for the podcasters.
It does. Become a patron. Go to patrons.com/JandJack. Support us there. Or you can go to our website. And there's a little button that says become a patron. And you can click on that and become a patron and help us out. We would appreciate it. So thank you. And carry on.
And again, you can go to Instagram. You go to MC954. Also, good follow.
Hey, what channel is that show on?
AMC, Walking Dead. It's on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
No. The Westworld or whatever.
HBO.
Okay.
Home box office. Home burnout.
Is this like the first season of it?
It is the first. Yep. They've only had four episodes so far.
Okay.
Based on
As you're not tired, you won't fall asleep. I promise.
And once you finish watching that, you listen to Mike Bloom and Jay Jack.
Exactly.
There you go. Let's get to some feedback. First of all, before we jump into the Facebook kind of comments, Russ, what did you think about this episode coming back? Season 7. Are you excited? Loved it.
I liked it. I kind of figured that's who was going to get knocked off. I just didn't know in what order. But it was a little gut-wrenching, you know, especially if you watch Talking Dead after. It was, you know, those people seem like they're so close, and, you know, it's like losing, you know, you're losing a family member, you know. It's just, you know, it's tough, but, you know, the thing about Walking Dead is it's good about introducing new characters that we, you know, become fans of. So I'm looking forward to their replacements, I guess.
It's like Three Super Guys. When you miss hosts, like other guys fill in. Nico, John Evans.
Yeah, there you go.
Hopefully Liz Loza. Jack, what did you think of the episode? Did you like it?
I thought it was good. I mean, I think it sets the season up nicely. I mean, obviously, I think for a show like this to be successful, you have to have the bad guy in order to keep, you know, the story going along. And I think the actor is a great actor. And unlike The Governor, where the story just went too long and just got stupid, hopefully this doesn't drag on all season with Rick moping and, you know, crying and all this stuff, you know, all the different stuff he would be doing. I thought the slamming over the heads was a bit much. I don't think they needed to show the you know, the mashed up head on the ground and he's still pounding. I don't think they need to keep doing that. It was overkill, but
they could have done like 1960s Batman, like bam, yeah,
bam, pow. Well, you had the initial smash. Whack, and, And when you see Glenn sitting there, okay, you're killing off a popular character. I guess you had to have him there with his eye bulged out. And
I think they kind of did have to show it, though, because how many close calls has Glenn had where everyone is like, is he really dead? Is he not?
I have no problem with that, but the fact that he's just standing there, you know, he's gasping for air and he's obviously dying and his eyes, like I said, eyes bulged out. And I think if someone posted something, Carl said, hey, I could use that eye, something like that.
Yeah.
Right. But there was some pretty funny news on the Facebook. You know, if you like our show and you're not familiar with it, you can always check out the Jane Jack Facebook group. There's lots of discussions on there about lots of different TV shows. I was reading through some of the comments. Sherry does a nice job of posting and also sharing the number that you can call in. Leave us a message, 385-309-0311.
And now that I know how to play those calls, I can play those calls now.
Right. Or you can also send in an email to us at janejacktv@gmail.com. So, or just tweet at us.
I think we have our own email.
Three stupid guys.
Oh, we do. Yeah. Well,
keep talking. I'll find it right now.
I think Sherry was just doing her best to get something out there. But before Russ jumps in there, I did want to just share something that she did point out, which is that on The Talking Dead, apparently they reveal that in the comic, he does have to cut off Carl's arm, which I haven't read that far into the comic book. It got pretty dark for a while there, so I had to.
I thought there was a miscommunication on that because I saw Scott and her were going back and forth on it. And
I think the way they put it was that they haven't determined when or if Carl will lose his arm, but they did say there's considerations with that.
Huh. Interesting.
There was another big thing they revealed on Talking Dead. It rains in California.
Yes.
Does it?
They all had umbrellas.
It was pouring down on them.
Really?
So the one thing that I did take out from the end of the show was, remember, as Rick's about to get in the RV, there's the walker that comes out of the woods?
Yes.
And, you know, I think the whole plot or the whole direction of Walking Dead is changing because now the walkers really aren't the threat anymore, you know, and he kind of just had this look of like, you know, I don't care about the walkers anymore, you know, and he got in the RV and he looked back in a rearview mirror and he saw the walker again. It's like, you know, like they're the least of my worries kind of thing. And I think that was kind of a turn in the direction that it's going, that, you know, no longer are they, you know, the walkers aren't the threat anymore.
Well, I think that's been the case since like season 3 when the governor's group showed up.
Yeah. But they've still done stuff where they got to deal with you know, hordes, and remember they had all those walkers and
the herd
and, you know, stuff. And it's like, but, you know, now it's like reality that, you know, it's like he doesn't care about the walkers anymore. It's, you know, he just turned around.
Just to add to this, one of the other comments in the Facebook, because I just want to highlight some of our people that do chime in on Facebook.
You know, before, that was their motto, you know. Got to kill them all.
Are you still talking? Okay. I got you. All right. So anyway, Jamie wrote in and put, I think the gore was a lot, but necessary. For one, they were true to the comic with Glenn. It was almost exact imagery. Also, we've watched 7 years of walkers and people getting shot, stabbed, squashed, head ran over, blown up, melted. We've watched little kids fall after being shot. It's good that we are bothered by the gore. Makes it real. Death in this world is not peaceful and quiet or quiet. The writers have been doing a great job at making you care about certain characters as if they were real people. their deaths had to be real. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of share that. I thought it actually went with what Russ had said. So not to step on your toes.
You can't always just look at the flowers.
Yeah. I have the email address here. It's walkingdead3sg@gmail.com. It's walkingdead3sg@gmail.com.
That is a horrible email. You wanted to send it to stupidguys@gmail.com?
I didn't make that up.
No, I know, but we could put like the three stupid guys Gmail, I think. Just send everything there.
Well, is there a three stupid guys Gmail?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know it's already being flooded with like everybody making their sports picks every week, but
we have sports talk 3SG. You could use go ahead and give the one we have then.
Nah.
No, go ahead and give the one we. I don't care which one we use. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, for this one, we're using SG3, and we will get our act together because we're three stupid guys. and we still got a sports show.
Just as long as our football one isn't RG3, because that would not be good.
Our show would tank just exactly like the quarterback. So
right.
I forgot to post on Facebook. Can I give my thoughts on this episode?
Sure. Right, because you don't belong on Facebook, right?
Sorry, Mike. I just thought you just were on Twitter all the time, and that was
cool. I thought
you go to concerts all the time. That's all.
But I have to like work for the show. I have to actually watch this like Walking Dead.
What did you think of it? Sorry, I didn't mean to forget about you, Mike.
I thought it started out like pretty slow, and it kept like commercial breaks like every like 10 minutes. I was like, oh man, they're gonna really drag this out here. And then they killed Abraham. I'm like, all right, they're going out the weak route, killing out a minor character. And then they come back, kill Glenn. I'm like, all right, I was right, but wow, you surprised me, Walking Dead. And then they had Rick doing the flash sequence where everybody dies. I'm like, got a little confused there. I'm like, wait, are we doing like a reboot here on Walking Dead? And then finally, with Maggie at the end of the show, wanting her revenge. Got a little misty-eyed there in the room.
Yeah.
And so I applaud this episode. I thought it flowed well. Wow. Like, looking back now, like, I like the suspense. They sort of slowed it down at the beginning.
Because usually you're the hater, right? You don't like the episodes.
Well, I hate when they're driving around to, like, all different roads on, like, the season finale.
Yeah, so just kill off a main character and have someone cry. You get emotional.
Great.
And now next, just bring zombie babies.
That's the thing that we've all been wanting for, you know. So I don't know if that'll ever happen. It's like this show will have to be around for another 10 years for the censors to get to allowing that to happen. Well, good. I'm glad you liked it, Mike. So
you'll be back next week. That's good. Good news.
Hey, I haven't missed a week.
And you know what? I think next week Mike should go first, but after hearing that comment, now Mike can go blast again.
Oh, wow. Cool. Well, I think that kind of does it for this episode, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was about ready to not let Mike say anything.
All right. Can we do a prediction? How many episodes in before Rick kills Negan?
Oh, he's here for the whole season, clearly, yeah, right?
He makes it through the whole season. There's no, he'll make it out through finale yet.
So what's Rick going to do? Oh, snot coming out of his nose. I'll go get the stuff.
He's got to start farming again. He's got to start working on his crops.
Well, there's that other group that we don't know about yet, right? That they almost the met. Or
the tiger is coming. They talked about it on Talking Dead.
What happened to Jesus? And that group.
they had to protect Judas.
He's prison. Okay, Jack. Prison.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
He's the reason for the season. I've got a question for you guys. Did you guys notice they're close to the end?
No.
One of the group, or one of Negan's group, took a picture of Glenn's dead body?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks for mentioning that. Yes, I did notice that. I thought it was nice because it was a callback to the Polaroids that we saw and the ones that Glenn was actually looking at. So yeah. His head actually becomes a Polaroid.
Do you think that guy had any relations with maybe that was his brother or something?
Oh, that'd be an interesting
and maybe that's twist. Why Glenn was chosen, because he killed his brother.
I think Glenn was just a random death.
I was thinking
right there.
About that, and that's what made me trail off to thinking about the whole RV scene and everything, how this has been orchestrated from the beginning by this group.
That'd be an amazing thing if it came true, because you have no support here.
Could he be related to Brett Favre?
Well, but I mean that almost goes back to them when they first, you know, encountered what's his name?
Jesus.
Yeah, you know, the one with the Polaroids and everything.
Yeah.
So it's not too far fetched. It's just
my question is where
I don't think anybody helped Rick on the RV, but maybe you have some guy in the grassy knoll helped him out.
Yeah. But my question is the bigger question is, where's this guy getting all the Polaroid film?
Well, there's plenty of stores around.
But I mean,
selling out.
How many people own a Polaroid?
No, it's very true. It's very true, especially in an apocalypse, because it's hard to find good Polaroid film. It really is. They stopped making it, and you have to have kind of vintage film laying around. And most often, this is what I've found, I have a Polaroid camera and I have Polaroid film, but they don't go together. I need a different model because,
But the hipsters are bringing it back, like vinyl. It's like vinyl, Polaroid.
I'm sure he stopped at a hipster flea market.
The hipster zombies all had it hoarded up. You just had to find the hipster zombies.
So there's like a photo mat still around that he has, a Kodak photo mat somewhere.
Perhaps.
I don't remember.
But anyway, I just thought that was pretty interesting that the guy was there. Another good call out, Russ.
So you've earned your pay today.
Yeah. we're gonna leave your one idea as the crackpot theory for the week. Okay.
I like that.
That Johnny Appleseed saved the Alamo. Right.
we can put that on a Twitter poll too. Which one was the better crackpot theory, right? Johnny Appleseed.
I go with the Johnny Appleseed. That's a given. It can't be proven that it wasn't true. Right.
or his big blue ox. Yeah. So
well all you have to say is, well, I'm not a historian. I'm just a coach and I just call the plays and that's it.
I'm just coaching.
Speaking of sports talk, we are going on to record. Yeah, we are going on to record sports talk.
We would like to thank three special patrons who help make the show not popular, but help keep it going. Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter Gleffelder, and Brad from Chicago. Thanks for doing what you do.
Hope your Cubbies win. Anyway,
unless you're a patron that's a Cleveland Indians fan, then we hope your team wins.
Yeah, we're a multi-fan based opportunistic.
Yeah, we could always throw it out there and say, if anybody from Cleveland wants to become a supporter, we will root for your team.
Yeah, after hearing this podcast, I'm thinking that's not going to happen.
Russ will change his picture to a Cleveland picture.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll just be lucky if we maintain our Walking Dead fan base. Thanks for joining us this week, and send in your feedback. Join us on Facebook, support us on Patreon, and you could just rate and review us on iTunes or just even subscribe to us. We'd appreciate all the help that you can throw our way. So,
Take a minute and just go give us a 5-star review. I'm not begging here, but 5 stars would be better than 4, 3, 2, 1. And so just stop what you're doing right now. Go on iTunes, log in, and go, I'm going to give the stupid guys 5 stars.
Then go to Instagram. MC954.
Hey, Jack, maybe what you need to do is you need to count down like Negan did. You need to say, do I really need to count down?
Okay, I'll do that next. Next week, I'll bring a bat with me next week, and if nobody there does it, I'll
I think,
just...
I think we just need to take a bat to the recording right now and end it.
End it.
All right,
cut
guys.
Off its arm.
Three.
Hasta luego, and goodbye.
See you next week.
Great show, guys. One in a million.
Adios.